Is this thing on?
Hello and welcome to Almost Famous, the podcast where you have two glorious bastards who drink tea and have way too much to say. I'm your host, Connor Keating, and I am joined by my co-host, as always, Brandon Scully.
Pleasure, Connor. Great to be here.
It always is. It always is. And speaking of here, this podcast is brought to you in Applewood.
Applewood, we're back.
We are back.
We're back home, dare I say. This is home.
This is
home. Even if it's someone else's home, this is our home.
Nah. When they're here, it doesn't count.
No. I refuse to believe anyone else lives here by us when we get a week or two here and there.
Once every like 3 months, but like, nah. I mean, when we live here, it's our home. It's and it. When we're not here, they're just, you know, mind your property.
It's just great to be back. It's our first time here. This is Applewood and Greystones we're talking about in Wicklow, Ireland. Ireland is that where we're from, is it? The first time here since March 2020, which was, as you remember, at the very beginning of the pandemic.
It was, yeah.
And we thought we'd never be here again.
The house was for sale, and we had left this house plenty of times for listings while we were here last time. We were very surprised that we'd ever come back here in the first place.
I'm going to be honest, I thought we'd never get it again.
No.
Not a chance, especially because of COVID as well. And she wouldn't leave the country. But she, I mean, your good auntie, who was nice enough to give us the house for a couple of weeks. But yeah, I never thought, honestly, we'd ever be here again.
It was a crazy period of time, especially at the start of COVID. Do you remember going out to Tesco around those times and how everyone was like panicking for their lives?
People were wearing masks before it was in fashion.
It was.
And we were looking at them going, why are you wearing a mask?
You couldn't buy toilet paper or bread for the life of you. Pasta, canned food. They thought they'd never get to a store again.
It was crazy. And people are still acting like that today as well, which is strange to see.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
I mean, you think over a year into it now, people have relaxed
a bit.
Especially with vaccines and stuff like that.
We're coming out of it.
We are. Surely. I don't think there'll ever be another lockdown. I hope not. Now, I'm touching wood here when I say that. I hope there will never be another lockdown.
We are literally touching wood in the process of sitting on this table. But it's been a table where many chats have been had throughout these years of us being here in Applewood for our periods of time. As you said, the introduction of this podcast, two glorious bastards who drink tea and have way too much to say. And that's based on the concept of this table. We have spent countless hours on this table speaking about God knows what. Every topic you can think of under the sun.
Everything and nothing at the same time.
Yeah. Like my days, we could ramble on for hours and not know where we are going. No, all of a sudden it's 4 a.m. It's like, do you fancy going to bed? It's like, be a good idea.
That's why just with the mics, I feel like we should have a third person here just to turn them off because we will get carried away, I feel.
Oh yeah, 100%. We will lose track of time on this, but you know, we'll see where it goes.
It's almost poetic though to think that we're starting a podcast at this very table. There's nowhere better to start it. It's very fitting,
yeah,
to say the least.
It suits it very well, considering as what I just said, we've literally spoken about everything and nothing on this table. And now, I mean, what, this time last week, we're here sitting saying, I'd be good to start a podcast.
Yeah.
You were in the verge of launching one.
I was trying to start one for, I'm going to say, a couple of months now. I had intentions to start it, but I never got around to it.
Mm.
And then we never put, and you were looking to do it for years, weren't
you? Yeah, I've been planning on doing a podcast for about 2 years, but scheduling and the people.
A lot longer than I was thinking about it anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
And we never put two and two together and thought, why don't we just do it? All we do is shy talk for a living to two each other, two of us, so.
And here we are now in Applewood doing it, you know, as a former content creation, here we are.
That's it.
Brandon, about 5 days ago, as we said, you fancied saying you want to do a podcast. I'm like, all right, let's get the order done. Let's get all the equipment. And the mics are here. Everything is here. We could be waiting another week.
That's such a big step as well for anyone who wants to start a podcast. The first step is actually getting the equipment. Once the equipment is here, it becomes very real. It's happened, in my opinion, already.
Yeah.
So that was just getting over that and finally getting it just sorted, because as soon as we both said we wanted to do it together, that was it. It was done. The stuff was ordered that night.
And what was surprising is we had all of our microphones and the XLR interface and all of that already. And all we had to wait for was one cable, and it was Brandon's cable for his microphone to go into the interface. That's all we were waiting for about 2 days. Like, we had everything here and all the equipment set up, but it was just that cable. And now that the cable has arrived, we're good to go.
And I mean, it's just the mics as well. They are beautiful.
They are stunning.
I didn't think they'd be this impressive. Well worth the money.
Yeah. Anything with a podcast is quite funny. The initial investment is usually the push factor that kind of puts people away from wanting to get into it. But the fact, once that step is made, and we made a very good step with the, our choices, we chose the Rode pod mics. I already had one for streaming because I do content creation at my own place. But it was my recommendation for Brandon when we went to get into this podcast. And here we are.
We were talking about Applewood there.
Yeah.
And as great as it is to have her back.
Yeah.
There is one negative I'll take from this place. Only one negative.
Okay, and what's that?
Shopping at Tesco.
Okay.
How do people do that weekly?
Convenience?
Well, I mean, it's convenient for us. It's close. But I'd much rather if it was Aldi or Lidl. And the second option we have there is Donnybrook Fair, which is even worse than Tesco. I didn't know there was actually shops worse than Tesco, but there is. Donnybrook Fair, for one. But yeah, Tesco, that's my only negative thing about Applewood, is that we had to shop in that
place.
That place. And we both worked in a Tesco. You worked in that Tesco. I worked in Tesco. So I try to avoid Tesco like the plague.
Oh, stop. You see, I think it depends, like, different hours. Like, for example, when I was working there, I used to do .com. I was there in the mornings, so 6 to 2 or 6 to 12. And as I found out the other day when I went down about 7 o'clock, the place is dead. It's such a nice place to shop when nobody's there.
From 6 to 7 when you're working, it's just so peaceful.
Mm.
I remember people had speakers going of their own music.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
As soon as 7 started and the first person walked in, everything was turned off and customers were coming around. And then Tesco came back. That's what it was. It officially became Tesco.
It is a sad time, a very sad time when Tesco comes back. But I mean, as you said, at least it's not Donnybrook Fair. You have the audacity to charge $4.50 for 2 slices of toast and 2 rashers.
They do not.
They do. $4.50. That's not even including a cup of tea, by the way. Not even a cup of tea.
That's Donnybrook, though, I guess. Donnybrook, Tesco, super value. Three stores to avoid at all costs.
True.
But it's just, Tesco is so convenient, being across the road, but at the same time, it's not. But there's one good thing about Tesco.
That's what I was going to lead into.
The free from section, is that, am I right in saying
the
that?
Free form.
Free form? I thought it was free from.
Could be one of the two now.
I've spent enough time there in the past week or so, and I still don't know what it's called.
Brandon, you could set up a fort there. I think, like, legit, the stock there in the past week is probably reach levels never has done before with the amount of products you've been buying from that section. I'm sure they've never had to restock it as frequently as they have.
I think they were shocked to see me there. Like, to see a paying customer standing in front of that section, because it's kind of hidden away. I never knew about that place.
It was moved. It used to be in a larger section.
Oh, really? And then they realized that no one actually buys that crap. Yeah. Bar me.
Bar you, yeah. And now it's like, oh no, the stock has been gone down way too fast-paced. But, speaking of good old stuff,
I found it very impressive anyway. Free from section, free from dairy, gluten, wheat. So I've been coming home every day with a gluten free bread. And you actually left me in Tesco because I was spending too long buying that sort of stuff. You weren't impressed with me coming home with a gluten free pasta and almond milk.
No, let me put it this way, right? So we were in the store, we're in the Tesco store, and Brandon finds a section, yeah. And so I leave him at that section for about a good 10, 15, 20 minutes, and I do my own shopping. I finish my shopping, I go back to the same section where he's still staring at the same corner. I'm like, oh my days, this could be some time.
I was in awe. I'm not even vegan or vegetarian, but I must say I was fascinated by all that shit. So I had to try the majority of it. I try not to have any dairy, but that's about it. There's no reason for me to really be there. But to fill my shopping bags up with gluten-free stuff and all.
Gluten-free cookies, for God's sake.
That's why I had to go to the self-service checkout. I couldn't handle the ridicule from an assistant serving me.
Brennan, if I was working there, and I have done in the past, and you came to my till with nothing but gluten-free, free-from everything, I'd just look at them and be like, okay, one of them. But, you know, we live and learn. We live and learn. Like, I had, as I said, I finished my shopping. I decided, okay, he's still there. I'm going to go for a wander for about 10 to 15 minutes just to pass time. And I go back and he's still there, right? Now, in this case, I was like, you know what? I'll just go for another wander, see if there's anything I've missed. I go back to the section and he's not there. You presume he's finished up his shopping and he's, gone to the checkouts or something. Out to the checkouts, he's not there. I sit outside the store for about 10 minutes, being like, there's no way he's still in that shop. After waiting 10 minutes outside, I'm like, okay, he's obviously walked home. To which I was like, oh, I'll join them. So I walk home and I get to the house and I come inside the house and there's no Brandon to be found. That man was still inside the store.
At the same time, I was walking around Tesco looking for you. And I too, after checking out, buying my free from non-dairy products, non-gluten products, non-wheat products, walked outside and sat outside Tesco waiting for you for about 10 or so minutes. And then I went to myself, oh, he's definitely at home. And yeah, so you left me in Tesco because I was at the free from section.
I think that's fully deserved.
I can understand it. But gluten-free pasta, you can't beat it. And speaking of pasta, Jesus could walk on water, but could he burn pasta?
You know, I reckon Jesus would even struggle to bloody burn pasta, which is exactly what Brandon did the first night he bought his gluten-free pasta in this place. Now, when it comes to most people, right, I'm not sure how you guys think it at home, but when you're making pasta, right, you'd boil the kettle and you put the water inside the pot and the pasta inside of it. Brandon, right, apparently this is the way he does it now. It's his method. So he puts the hob on full blast, right? And then he'll put the pasta...
I didn't mean to do that.
Right? He'll put the pasta, right? Now, this is a normal routine. His pasta in the pot with no water, no base, right? And then he'll put the water in afterwards when the kettle has boiled. Now, that kettle could take a few minutes to boil with all the water in it. So, yeah, Brandon said, no, there's nothing could possibly go wrong from this. And put the water in anyway and cooked his pasta and all of a sudden...
In my defense, it's a very, very old oven. It's older than us. But it's, again, Applewood, it's a place that makes the impossible possible. I've never heard of anyone burning pasta before.
No, Brandon, I don't know anybody. It's hard to burn pasta.
I'm nervous making pasta now. I never thought that would be a struggle in life. That's why I like to just prefer, especially when we're here, to stick to takeaways.
Yeah, we, in our time here, we spent a fair amount of quid on the old takeaways, I'd say. There's a few good ones.
Money well spent.
Money well spent. Like, I wouldn't take a penny of it back. Actually, there's a few now. Actually, no. Speaking of which, there's about one or two takeaways where, like, it actually ruined my day. But that happens, right? But there is a lot of good takeaways around.
We're very lucky in the location. Greystones is good for food. It's not good for much, but it's good for food. Takeaways and... The holy grail of them all, Connor. Do you want to say her beautiful name?
Oh. Is it even loud on a site like this? Like, this is like, oh, this is
this is a sensor warning right here.
It is, yeah. It is called Data.
Data.
In Greystones.
An Indian Pakistani mix. Yeah. It's beautiful. It is the holy grail.
Of food in Greystones.
Of food.
You can't top it.
No, you can't. It is. Indian in general is the best cuisine in the world, in my opinion. I love it.
I would agree. It's a brilliant cuisine.
Even from working in an Indian restaurant, but I just love Indian food. And Dada is the best I've found. The best I've found.
I can't disagree. We've actually both worked in Indians.
We have indeed. We're the same people.
With the same people at different times. I did it, what, 2 years before you started there?
Yeah.
But yeah, different periods of time, we both work in Indians, and we can both say that confidently that form of cuisine is absolute quality.
It's fair to say we know our Indian food.
Oh, we would, yeah. We'd be fairly experienced.
Dada, I don't know, I haven't had the Bray version, but the Greystones version is, it's special.
It is special.
But one bit of advice, it's the best cuisine in the world 6 days a week. There's one day of the week that you shouldn't order from Dada in Greystones, and that is, Connor?
It's a Tuesday.
Why is it a Tuesday?
Because on a Tuesday, you see...
Chefs don't care.
I wouldn't go that far. But Brandon likes his chicken tikka masala with a bit of extra spice.
I love spicy food, and that's why I'm a big fan of Indian. And so when I request it to be spicy, I order so much Indian that my predicted text, when I say the word, when I type the word can, it automatically goes, can you make the masala very, very spicy? Now, I do that all the time, predicted text on the Just Eat, except on Tuesdays. Every time you send it on Tuesdays... For some reason, they don't make it spicy. I don't think the chef really cares on Tuesdays. I don't think he likes working Tuesdays. Maybe it was his day off, but I did it 2 weeks in a row and I paid the price 2 weeks in a row.
Where you weren't given a spicy masala.
But granted, the food is still beautiful and it was still great. It just wasn't spicy. That was the only problem.
Spicy. It's one of those things where you just have to get on with it.
I would say it was his first day, but he did it a week after as well.
Oh, he did 2 weeks back to back.
Maybe it was because it was the second day. didn't know any better.
So you're saying this guy only works Tuesdays once a week?
He doesn't want to work Tuesdays, but by the looks of it either. But
it is.
Data is the holy grail. The holy grail.
I can't disagree.
I mean, we're in Applewood, as we keep saying, but we're not truly back in Applewood unless we baptize her with a data. So before our time here is up, we will have a data.
Oh, 100%. It's like tradition. Like in like church, you'll be given the old the holy bread and the wine and whatnot.
Instead it's naan bread. You get
we get naan bread and a chicken tikka, which, as I said, it's the holy grail of Greystones.
What do you order from a data?
Well, you see, I'm not too dissimilar to yourself. I love a chicken tikka masala with plain naan.
Plain naan.
You see,
have you ever got the wrong naan? That was a sigh.
It was. It's a solid, I'd say, 60-40 to whether I get my correct naan. I mean, plain naan seems to be, it's the bread and butter. It's the basic naan in a place. But for some reason, when I order plain naan, and as someone who really dislikes garlic, they really like to give me garlic naan.
But it's not only that. You have a hatred for garlic.
I dislike garlic.
And
like,
certain takeaways know this, and out of spite, purposely give you garlic. Who else is that?
Well, I mean, you have Vito's up in Eden Gate, right? And granted, their kebabs are beautiful, right? I will say that they have the best kebabs in Greystones that you can get. But for quite a large period of time, a long period of time more so, every time I would get a chicken kebab with no garlic, and I would come into the rest of the place these days, and they go like, chicken kebab, no garlic, no garlic. Yeah, it's a joke these days, right? And even to the extent where it's like, chicken kebab with nothing but garlic in it. I'm like, yeah, that's the one. But for a long period of time, I would be like, chicken kebab, no garlic. And I'd walk home. This could be this could be after, what, a day's work. I have a full day of college, getting back 6-7 in the evening. Finally, I get some food. I walk back to my house. And I get to my house and get upstairs, take up my chicken kebab, only for it to be loaded with garlic.
There's very few things worse than when you're waiting for a takeaway and it's ruined. And especially with your hatred of garlic. It's a personal thing. I don't know. I've never met someone who hates garlic more than you do.
It's not necessarily...
It's like you're garlic, a vampire, like, or garlic, something.
I don't mind the odd bit of garlic season on things, right?
Yeah.
But it's garlic sauce. Garlic sauce is the one thing that I just cannot stand. I hate it with a passion. It just puts me off food completely.
You were saying there that it's the best kebab you've had in Greystones?
Yes, it's definitely up there.
What about Moretti's? In my opinion, the best chipper around at the moment.
It is the best chipper. Oh, as an overall chipper, I would agree that Moretti's is the best chipper you can get in Greystones.
Mm.
The Vito's kebabs are special, right? I'll tell you that when they don't put garlic in it. And I have to say that Moretti's is up there. It is very much up there with competing with Vito's kebab. But as I said not so long ago, there is one takeaway that I got that ruined my day. And we were here.
What was that?
I ordered a chicken kebab from Joker's. I'm not sure if you remember this.
I don't.
You don't.
Remind me.
You got a burger and I got a chicken kebab, right, from Joker's. And it was absolutely vile. I've had kebabs from a good few places.
Did you just open it up and it was a big clove of garlic instead of anything
else?
No,
they
chicken.
Didn't put any garlic in it. It was just, to put it bluntly, a load of crap, as they would say.
And that's strange coming from Joker's as well. I know the quality is kind of, the standard is kind of dropped. Joker's is the only place I go to when I'm coming back from town.
When
it's
you're
2,
kind of
it's 2 a.m. and you're, yeah.
Shit-faced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say the least.
I mean,
and you go, oh, I see the lights and Joker's are on. That means they're open.
Burger.
And they're cleaning and you come in and you go, oh, Roisin.
Look at a burger, thanks.
That's the only time I'm ever really in Joker's or order Joker's.
I think that's the only time Joker's actually exist. Like, when you're desperate.
I feel like if I went in it during the day, I'd have the fear of God. You know?
Thank you. I'd be the same, and hence why I usually avoid it by the plague. But I think we're in desperate times and desperate measures when this happened. But yeah, we ordered a chicken kebab, and, oh no, not we. I made the mistake, and I've never done it again. But, you know, thankfully Moretti's isn't as bad. It's nowhere near as bad, but actually it's one of the, probably as Brandon said, the best chippers in Greystones right now.
At the moment, it definitely is the best chipper in Greystones.
Yeah, their burgers are quality. You've had the fish and chips, don't you?
I've had the fish and chips once or twice. Very good.
Very good.
And the portion size is ridiculous.
Oh, they're very generous.
And the prices are so low and the portion size is crazy. Yeah, you can't finish half
the meals. And the chips are good.
Chips are very good.
The chips are good. I've yet to have a bad bite.
Which
of
is important for a Chippers.
You would expect that, but the amount of like Chippers you go to and the chips are absolutely dreadful.
Yeah.
Like it's mad.
We could name one or two.
We could.
But yeah, if anyone's listening, try Moretti's if you haven't already.
In Greystones, 100%. It is, I would highly very recommend good. The Royal Beef Burger. If you're in there, try the Royal Beef Burger. It's fantastic.
But don't get chips with that.
Oh, it's a monster of a burger.
Yeah, that'll fill you on its own, it will. And it's no coincidence that Moretti's and Dada are right across from each other.
They are. They face one another.
Yeah, directly. So, obviously, there's something about that part of Greystones that just makes food very, very good.
The upper part of the town. Now, granted, we have a decent Chinese in Greystones.
We do.
And it's been our usual go-to while we've been here.
It's been reliable in the past.
It has.
Once or twice, I may say it's let us down, but heavily. Overall, Jade Royal has been reliable.
It has. And I'm glad that right now it's finding some good form, you know, a bit like other things in life. It's finding some very good form.
I had a Jade Royal the other day, and so did you. You had a Jade Royal the weekend as well.
I misordered the previous time.
You got curry sauce instead of sweet and sour sauce, which, as you know, makes or breaks a Chinese.
You see, I don't mind a curry sauce with food, but at the same time, I'd like, with rice, I usually go sweet and sour. With curry, I go chips. No, sorry, with rice, yeah, I get sweet and sour sauce. With curry, I'd go with chips. But in this instance, I had ordered rice and chicken balls with the intention to get sweet and sour sauce, and I didn't make the adjustment. It came with curry sauce. Granted, it's grand. I don't mind it.
I've only ever got curry sauce from Jade Royal maybe once. As you know, my order is sweet and sour pork, Yung Chow fried rice, and chips. It can't be beaten from my perspective.
Mm.
But I wanted to mix it up about a year or so ago. Because you know, you order too much the same thing, you're going to get sick of it. Unless it's Dada, because the Holy Grail, obviously. But I ordered what was it?
Chicken curry.
Yeah, it was chicken curry. It was just a normal chicken curry, Yung Chow fried rice and chips. Came about, granted it was a Saturday, came about an hour and a half late. It was cold. And just the chicken in the curry sauce was disgusting. I actually had to throw it out. I couldn't eat it. Remember I told you about that? And that turned me off Chinese in general for a good couple of months. But then eventually I went back to Jade Royal. I haven't had a problem with it since. Now I haven't ordered any curry sauce and chicken, just sweet and sour pork. Just see if it's not broken, don't fix it. Stick to what you know.
True.
Maybe it was my own fault for pushing the boundaries.
Of ordering outside your limit. You see, the thing is, right, I actually ordered the chicken curry from the Jade Royal quite frequently. And the chicken, for the most part, is usually very good. But I think there was a brief period of time.
I said that it was a little bit shook up that I ordered something different for the first time.
You scared them.
That's what it was. Could you imagine if I ordered something other than a masala from Dada, what it'd do to them, especially on a Tuesday.
They wouldn't come.
Especially on a Tuesday.
They'd be like, you know what, Brandon, they'd call the police.
They'd ring me and go, sorry, I think you made the wrong order there.
Yeah, you know what, Brandon, if there was ever a clear call to I'm in danger, please call police and save me, it would be you not ordering a chicken tikka masala.
That would, exactly, yeah. Now, so yeah, Jade Royal, no problem with it. It is nice. It does the job, to say the least. It's there for a reason, and it does. You know.
But you know what kind of gets annoying with like takeaways, and we're in the bits of Greystones.
What's that?
Delivery charges.
Connor, tell me about delivery charges in Greystones.
Right. So to put it this way, we're about maybe a 15-minute walk from most takeaways in Greystones, right?
Yeah, I'd say about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, at nighttime after a long day's work, you don't really want to interest go for a walk. Now, granted, it's like a 2-minute, it's like a 3-minute drive.
If you're coming home from work or something, you don't have the time to put a meal on. You want to just buy a
go
takeaway.
Home. Yeah, exactly. And for us two individuals who, yet of us, neither of us drive yet.
Well, I drive around fields.
You do, yes.
Legally.
Legally, yes. But yeah, delivery fees around here are a bit nuts, considering it's about maybe a 2-minute, I'd say 2 minutes in a car.
Yeah, what Jade Royal actually is $3.50 in itself, isn't it?
$3.50 just for delivery.
But you know there's a figure worse than $3.50.
There can't be.
$4.50, Connor.
$4.50. Is this place like 20 kilometers away, 30 kilometers away?
This place is in the harbour.
So you're saying about...
I'm not talking about Bray Harbour. I'm talking about Greystones Harbour.
A 2-minute drive from our house, currently. And what's the figure?
$4.50
for delivery.
$4.50. I think he walks up with it for that price. $4.50 from the harbour to Applewood. This place, we shall remain nameless for the time being.
For the current time being.
No, it's Sweeney's and Gossett. 450. That place. I think it changed ownership. Maybe something
recently. It has.
It did indeed. During lockdown, didn't it?
Yes. It's currently like reopened with whole new menu. Cuisine.
It was untouchable. It was the best chipper in Wicklow at one time.
Mm.
It was such a nice family-friendly place in the morning. They had breakfast and all as well in the cafe beside it.
Yeah.
And now they charge $4.50 for delivery. And the burger buns are different colours as well.
They have different varieties, yes. You can get like black ones, and I've seen some mad things on the menu.
I saw a purple one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they've
got... What flavour is that? Who asked for a purple bun on the burger? That's a strange one.
Granted, though their prices are quite hefty in comparison to your typical chipper... The burgers themselves aren't bad.
Yeah, I imagine the food's good for a $4.50 delivery charge.
Yeah,
it'd want to be.
If they have the audacity to charge $4.50 for delivery.
Delivery charge is almost as expensive as a burger.
It's a bag of chips.
It's more expensive than a bag of chips, sure.
Yeah, no, it is, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's like a bag of chips and a can of Coke.
You buy a bag of chips,
yeah,
and you're actually paying more for the bag of chips to get to you than you are for the bag of chips itself.
But then minimum delivery order as well. That's the thing with the way this thing is going. But you know what is crazy?
It's so Greystones.
It's very Greystones. It's kind of the whole, I don't even know, the stigma, not even the stigma.
It's that area in general, the harbour with the beach house and things like that.
It's the audacity of them. But what is also crazy is that, as we said, this is $4.50 delivery from Greystones. Boxburger and Bray, who, as I said, we mentioned the Bray Harbour a minute ago. The Bray Harbour... and Boxburger that is located there.
The Bray Seafront, yeah.
Bray Seafront, yes. Pardon me. Deliver 2 Greystones. For how much, Brandon?
$2.50. And we're going to stop you there as well. Okay. Not only to deliver the Greystones for $2.50, they deliver to Farron Kelly for $2.50.
Oh, wow.
And the food is, it's good. Now, the food is a little bit expensive.
Right.
But I won't complain. You know,
good food.
$2.50 from the Seafront and Bray. That's incredible. And then we have Sweeney's. Cheating us locals. $4.50.
It is a bit crazy, but...
I used to follow Sweeney's Home and Away. I know they're charging me $4.50 for delivery.
In the cheek. It's very cheeky.
The audacity.
I know, but...
Boxburger, $2.50. You can't complain with that. And gluten-free bread as well.
Oh, yeah. But Brandon, do you mind me asking you, how much you pay for a milkshake to get... Just a milkshake. Nothing else. Just a milkshake.
No.
Can I get the figure?
No, this isn't no milkshake. This is criminal.
It's a milkshake.
It's a vegan milkshake. Again, right. I'm not vegan, but I eat gluten-free bread and vegan milkshakes. Dad, if you're listening, sorry. But £7 for a vegan milkshake.
Do you mind me asking? A burger, tenner?
And
ten?
Before you even go on there, okay. Con, it's actually getting smaller, the milkshake is.
The milkshake is getting smaller.
One time they delivered to me without a straw.
I'd send it back.
It's my own fault. It's there, £7. I said laughing every time I order it. And it's getting smaller. But it's nice. And it does it. I only really order when I'm hungover.
Brandon.
And you just need something like that.
It's £7 for a milkshake.
We shall move on. We shall move on.
You had the audacity to question Sweeney's for charging $4.50
delivery. I will stand by that.
But you will pay £7 for a milkshake, happily.
Yeah, but at least it only comes to me for $2.50.
we can move on from that.
We can move on. The summer is here.
It is.
Football is here.
Oh, it's football season. It's quality.
Euro 2020.
And we are a few days into it already.
We are indeed. And I haven't seen a single game yet because I've been working away.
That is shocking.
I had a bit of the England game on. That was about it. They were playing Croatia. And Croatia let me down there massively. But other than that, I haven't seen really a second of football.
That is crazy, considering, I mean, it's been on about 4 days. And, I mean, it's hard to turn on the TV and not see a match right now.
Yeah, but as you know, I'm not really here. I'm away working at the moment. But, yeah, Euro 2020, football is here finally. And, Euro 2020 and the year 21, you know, the summer of 2021. But, there was something happened on the weekend in the Danish game.
There was, and it was to be honest, it was baffling to watch, I have to say. It was crazy to watch live. Yeah, it's something that you wouldn't even see in a movie.
You watched it live as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was crazy. So just prior to halftime, Denmark were on the attack, and goes out for a throw, and the ball comes to Eriksen, and who's a fantastic, one of the best centre-attacking midfielders in the world at one point, and he just collapsed. The ball was, like, no one was near him, no challenge, the ball went to him, and he just collapsed.
Oh, I saw a video or two that was going around Twitter, and it was very eerie, it was scary to see. But, I mean, what was so impressive about it was the reaction of Anthony Taylor and the medical staff. They reacted so quickly, because the way he just dropped, you could tell straight away there was something wrong.
Oh, it was very evident something was wrong. And, yeah, no, fair play. It took him 5 seconds to stop the game and get him seen to. And though, as you know, when it comes to these type of things, time is everything. And they were swift to get everything on board and get everybody across. And thankfully, Eriksen is good to, he's all right, he's recovering.
It's most definitely saved his life, 100%.
Oh, yeah, without question.
And the reaction of the Denmark captain and Schmeichel, it was great to see.
And
great
just to see. Knowing basic CPR.
Very important. Huge. Very important. Something that everyone should know, I think.
How to use, and to basically know where your local defibrillator is, because they said in this instance it saved his life. The exact same scenario a year ago, a player in Nigeria had the same thing, collapsed, but there was no defibrillator in sight, and he passed away in the ambulance the way to the hospital.
They're looking for to introduce defibrillator in grassroots football. They think every pitch in the country should have it. Yeah, if that happened in, say, the lower leagues, even down to League 2, maybe someone wouldn't have been so lucky.
Yeah.
So there should be one of them on every pitch in the country, most definitely. But yeah, medical support is definitely needed in that. But can I talk about the BBC cameras? What was going on there? You'd know more about this than me, because you were actually watching the game.
It was shocking.
Did they zoom in on him and his wife?
They not only did they do that, right? They did not take the cameras away from Eriksen the entire time. You could see everything that was going on. You could see him being resuscitated by the medical staff, being given CPR, the defibrillators going on, everything. And then not only that, they had the cheek and the nerve to then show his wife crying live on air.
I'm not going to lie, that doesn't surprise me. The BBC does not surprise me whatsoever. But what were they thinking? Honestly,
I don't know what they were thinking. It was crazy to watch.
I think they would have just skipped to the studio.
That's what you'd have presumed would have happened. But it wasn't the case. When
Fabrice Muamba collapsed back in that FA Cup quarterfinal, White Hart Lane, that was 9 years ago, that was.
Wow.
His heart stopped for 78 minutes. Sky Sports kept a distance that day when it happened. There was no fucking zooming in on him or anything like that.
Yeah, because they have a bit of respect for themselves.
Yeah.
But it was crazy to watch, and it was mind-boggling to why they wouldn't pan back to the studio. It was a disgrace to, I think, the broadcast network in general.
Mm.
Even Ian Wright, who you'd often see on a BBC Match of the Day, questioned it on Twitter, saying, why haven't they not gone back to the studio? Except he put it much more...
of course, yeah, he works for BBC as well.
He does, yeah. He was absolutely bamboozled to why they would not pan to the studio. But you know what? If anything good comes from this World Cup, not this World Cup, pardon me, the Euros, I think I've said that 100 times at this stage.
Next year's World Cup.
Don't worry, I'll call it the Euros.
You'll call it the Euros next year, yeah.
But it's how vital knowing CPR can be, even if it just happens once in your lifetime.
As Fabrice Muamba said, him being alive is the best thing that came out of Euro 2020. It's just incredible. Like, it's just such a big name as well for someone that happened to him.
Christian Eriksen.
And think about it. These guys are serious athletes.
Yeah.
They're monitored every day, the intensity. I'm thinking, surely his career is over there. Surely. He'll never be able to step foot in a football pitch
again. I wouldn't
again.
Expect him to, but from officials at, officials at Denmark and Inter Milan, they're very optimistic about his playtime in the future. But
that's probably just more trying to give hope to people, to the fans and stuff like that. Keep everyone optimistic and happy. Because it was a very grim thing.
It was grim to watch, but it's crazy to think that it's Christian Eriksen.
What a loss to football that would be if he is to retire. He's only 29 years of age.
Oh, he's going through his peak years.
A good few years still ahead of him, and he's just won the Serie A with Inter Milan.
It's mad to think. He's only been there how long? A year? 2 years?
Two seasons at Inter Milan.
But we all know the quality that Eriksen brings to the table.
He's a great player. I was there in the Aviva when we played Denmark.
Oh yeah,
one of 50 times, and it was brilliant that day. Brilliant. But yeah, like, I think personally his career is over 100%. Just after winning the Serie A with Inter as well, and think about Conte has left Inter as well. That's two massive losses for them.
Yeah, who have they appointed as their new manager?
To be honest with you, kind of actually don't know, but it's funny thinking that Conte was having talks with Spurs.
Yeah,
what a job! He would have did some job there as well.
I mean, right? We all thought Mourinho going to Spurs. Now Mourinho's past is—you could confidently say maybe past his best of years. But he's still a quality winning manager. He's got the winning mentality to win trophies. He's never gone to a club before and not won a trophy at that club. And then they sacked him prior to the
strange decision to sack a manager of his standard. And again, his record speaks for himself, trophies wise. Like a week maybe before the League Cup final.
Was that 2 days prior to the
League Cup final?
The League Cup final.
And this was the whole at the same time the big Super League. Garbage came out and all that. Carry on, but imagine getting rid of Mourinho before a cup final, albeit the League Cup final. But they haven't won anything in 11-12 years. Maybe that's the last thing they did win. Just sacking them a couple of days prior to that, and then putting Ryan Mason in charge. It's a bit of a step up for him as well.
And that's his first managerial job.
Yeah, against Pep's City in a cup final.
You don't do that. No, it's even if you're looking to get rid of Mourinho. You give him that final, because I reckon that you put Mourinho in that final, just knowing the tactics he could bring out.
They only lost 1-0 as well. I reckon they could have won it.
I reckon they could have.
And now, obviously, losing it, that's obviously Kane gone. That'd be Son gone. Spurs, there'd be some.
Kane is officially going, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah.
That's going to be crazy, because they're going to get, what would you say, roughly 100 million, 120?
About that, yeah.
But with that money, who can they buy? Because it's Spurs.
Who wants to go to Spurs?
That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, Gareth Bale's gone back to Madrid now as well. That was his loan over, don't we? It's a badly run football club. It's a poor football club. And I think they're going to fall apart. They had their chance. I think it's going to fall apart now with no Mourinho, no Kane. But back to the Euros anyway. Who's going to win it?
I think a lot of people, and including myself, are going to go with France.
I think France as well. That's who I think. I actually think it's going to be a repeat of the 2016 final, France and Portugal. And they're actually in the same group.
They're in the same group, but that group itself is absolutely
lethal. It's a group of death.
It is the group of death.
It's a group of death.
You have France, you've got Germany, you've Portugal, you've got Hungary.
Hungary, a tidy little side as well.
They're not bad.
No,
they might go under the radar in that group.
They were very good in 2016 as well, they were. Remember, Portugal knocked them out on the way to the final. But I think as well. I think it'd be France Portuguese final if granted they don't meet in the knockout stages. But it'd be interesting to see now in the group who comes out on top there. But yeah, I think France maybe. Yeah, and they're not even the world's number one at the moment either. But France, world champions, they were in the last European Championship final. I think France are going to win it.
And their first game is on today.
It is
against Germany.
We'll have to watch that 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yes, I think so. It'll be an interesting game to watch because. This German side is probably going a bit on compared to in previous years where Germany has been very, very, very dominant. You've had some big names on that team sheet. Even though there are still big names now, they're going under the radar when it comes to the favourites of this tournament.
Just a bit. And speaking of favourites as well, just England, Paddy Powers, the bookies, number one favourites. I'm sick. It's every tournament England are put down as the favourites.
It's coming home.
The only thing coming home is that team in about a week's time, I'd say.
Disappointed, and you know, Harry Kane saying we tried our best.
And Phil Foden's going to shave his head if they lose as well. Get rid of that Gaza haircut he has.
Oh yeah, new haircut, new form, isn't that what they say?
Apparently so. But I can't believe, again, I can, but I'm not surprised, but England being Paddy Power's favourites once again. It's like City being the favourites for the European Cup every season.
Yeah. And you know what? They nearly did it.
Nearly, but they didn't.
No, they didn't.
It's a relief.
It is a relief for football, and I'm also very happy because, you know, as a Chelsea fan my entire life.
As a what?
Chelsea fan.
As a what?
I believe it's called a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
My entire life, I've supported Chelsea ever since my man Joe Cole was on the ball. God bless his talent and skill. My days, he's like a modern day...
Liverpool legend.
As I said, or was saying... He was absolutely unbelievable on the ball he was. And yeah, I've been a supporter since 2000 and 4 or 5.
Even as you know, doing the same thing as me as well. We've both seen our team win the European Cup in our adult life, and as you'll admit, it's nothing comes close to it.
No, it was a very weird match,
especially beating City in the European Cup final.
But I mean,
let's admit, at the moment, they are the best team in Europe as well.
On paper, Man City are the best team in Europe.
They should win it every single season with that team. They should win it with their bench.
Can we have a look or just question Guardiola's decision to not start a CDM?
Why does he overthink so much? The amount of experience that man has in finals, he doesn't lose them. Well, bar that one. He doesn't really lose finals. And to not start Aguero, who's going?
Fernandinho.
And not start Fernandinho, a centre defensive midfield.
A quality one.
In a European Cup final.
And Rodri.
No other team in the world would do that. No other manager in the world would start.
No, they played no CDM. Which was
strange.
Granted, I was delighted when I saw that team sheet and I see Aguero on the bench for his... we've all seen it, and I'm not sure if you have.
He scored 2 goals in his final Premier League game as well.
In about 15 minutes off the bench. But Aguero's one thing he always wanted to do at City, was win the Champions League. He said he was not going to leave City until they won the Champions League.
Well, he's gone.
They
didn't win the European Cup. I hope this is the start of a beautiful downfall.
For City?
Oh, yeah.
Who can they bring in to replace him?
Harry Kane. If they get Harry Kane, man, you might as well turn the TV off every week, because it's going to just be City 4, City 5, City 6 every week.
Phil Foden tap the ball in there and again.
Yeah,
if they get Harry Kane, then my days, that's it.
It's game over.
You have Kevin De Bruyne.
It's a bit unfair, to say the least.
The money they have is crazy, and I know that they're very determined to get back into winning ways. The Champions League obviously was a big hit for them, but we'll see where things go going forward. The transfer window that's coming up is going to be very interesting.
It is indeed.
Sancho nearly going to United.
It looks it. And again, that annoyed me as well.
But he was a City kid.
City U team.
Academy.
So was Haaland as well, wasn't he? Be interesting to see where he ends up. Could you imagine City with Haaland and Harry Kane?
No, they wouldn't buy two, sure.
That would be City 7, City 8 every weekend.
It is nuts to think that the possibility of Kane and Haaland going to the same, because Haaland's father played for
Leeds. He played for City. He played for City, but Haaland was born in Yorkshire and Leeds, he was.
Yeah.
Funny thing, he could play for England.
You know what, right? I would then understand England being favourites going to that tournament. They had Haaland in his current form up front. That is scary. That would genuinely
just
be scary.
The man is a robot. The man is a robot. You ever watch his interviews after?
It's
comical.
I can't tell if he's playing a character or he's just genuinely a robot.
I think that's him. That's him being normal.
So Mark Zuckerberg being related to Haaland, a high...
both non-human.
Non-human players.
Or robots.
But the guy is a goal machine. His goals per minute ratio compared to some of the other top strikers in Europe is phenomenal. Granted, he doesn't get the assist of the likes of Mbappe and Kane.
You wouldn't really mind about that though, because he's just constantly scoring.
He is a goal focused striker.
He's a robot.
He's a robot.
He's not
programmed.
Human. But just back to Paddy Power there. I'm speaking about England and the favourites. Do you have any bets on yourself for this Euros?
I've not made any bets for this Euros. What about yourself?
Ryan? I have indeed. I've got a 50 to 1 on Paddy Power. I got Harry Kane top goal scorer and France to win it. Now, that doesn't look like a bad bet until England played their first game there.
Yeah.
And Kane, you said, came off injured.
Coming for an attack and they went past the keeper. It was kind of going towards, like, a ball went in over the keeper. And Kane went, like, full force into the post. And he looked like he was in a considerable bit of pain at the time. And the keeper, who did they play in their first game?
Croatia
it was, yeah. Modric was very quiet that game. But the Croatian keeper checked on Kane straight away, knowing something was up. He was in a considerable amount of pain. Granted, he continued from that moment.
Yeah, see, I didn't see it at all. I didn't see any of it.
But there was a late shoulder challenge on Kane later on in that game. And he went off very soon afterwards. So it looks like he might have a slight hiccup going into the matches.
I saw him getting taken. Captain as well. I saw him getting taken off, but I didn't see him climbing the post or getting injured or anything like that. But yeah, I've got him top goal scorer, and I've got France to win it at 50-1. That essentially means Mbappe is going to be top goal scorer, and England are going to win.
Oh, it's always the case when you bet.
Every time I put a bet on, I think the players find out, and they just do the complete opposite of what I have.
I know the feeling with other things. It's very similar in fantasy football, where as soon as you captain somebody or uncaptain somebody, it's like the game tells that person individually that you, Connor Keeley has uncaptained you on fantasy football. And you know what that means? They go and score 4 fucking goals that weekend. And it's happened. And it's so annoying when you're Salah.
They refine their form.
Salah and Mane, them absolute twats, right? I will captain.
You watch your language talking about them two, please.
Twats. I will have Salah in for 7 weeks, right? 7 weeks. Mane will be scoring a goal every week and grabbing an assist while Salah does absolutely nothing, right? I'm like, okay, Mane is the one in form. I'll substitute Mane in. Only for Salah to score a brace and get an assist nearly every week afterwards and for Mane to be extremely quiet. It is an annoying and infuriating aspect of fantasy football that comes with playing it every year for the past, I don't know, 13 years.
It's just something I've never got into, but you've always been massive into it. Everyone seems to be massive into it. And didn't an Irish guy win it last year? Or this season?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, from Galway, someone like that. I had him on Dermot and Dave. Speaking of which, their days are numbered.
Oh, yeah. Dermot and Dave, if you were listening, you just wrap it up, call it a day.
There's going to be a shortage of P45s at Today FM after this gets broadcast.
Give this a few episodes and we'll have your staff in your studio. You're just keeping it warm for us for the time being. But yeah, no, when it comes to fantasy, there's been a league within our little, within our area, let's say, within our, we're in a secondary school, and even we're going to our like third or fourth, fifth years of college now, and that league is still going, even into the Euros. We've had a fantasy team all year, or fantasy league team all year, and now we've got the Euros, where it's been a very interesting watch.
I've always been requested to join it, and you've even gone as far as set a team up for myself, but it's just never happened.
It takes a bit of effort.
It does. It takes a lot of time, I feel, as well.
Like, analysing, like, who's going to play where. And nothing is more infuriating than when you pick a brilliant player who you know is going to probably play fantastic, who's going to start every game, only for him not to start.
But this week, though, you made a call. You got a call. You got a bit of a voice from myself and a certain player. You chose to go with him, to captain him.
Well,
and it worked out.
I was forced into that scenario because what I was saying with that was I had captained Kevin De Bruyne, who is one of the more expensive, luxurious players on fantasy football for Belgium, a highly
the world's number one football team.
The world's number one football team. And KDB is vital in their success, or you'd have thought that. And so I'm like, grand, I'll bring in KDB over Bruno. Because for Bruno Fernandes of Portugal, Ronaldo's on the free kicks, Ronaldo's on the pens. So KDB, captain. And he's, you know, he's picked up a bit of a knock in the Champions League final against Rudiger. Big up the Rudigers. But I still expected De Bruyne to start this game, only for it not to come through. And I had my captain option given back to me. I was very surprised at this. Now I was given back my captain option. And where I put it on Gini Wijnaldum, who, that Netherlands game was a brilliant game to watch, probably one of the most entertaining games so far we've had.
I wouldn't know.
So pretty much the Dutch side, they were all over Ukraine, all over the first, I'd say, 50 minutes, right? Missing Dumfries, who I also brought in, who I'm very happy with that call. I knew Dumfries was a quality fullback, and he ran riot the entire game against Ukraine, missing several open goals in the process. Which is very infuriating when you see Dumfries go down the wing, put it across to Gini Wijnaldum when you have both of them in your fantasy team, only for Gini to miss. Do you know how much points that would have been? That would have been like 10 points right there.
Well, at least he picked you up a few points here and there. I told you, he's a great show for the Netherlands team, because in Klopp's Liverpool, I wouldn't say he's held back, but he's told to do a certain role and he does it to perfection.
Yeah.
Where for the Dutch team, for his international team, and being captain now as well, because Van Dijk is out injured, missing the tournament completely. Gini's let loose, to say the least, and he scores and he assists for fun, and he plays a much more attacking role compared to what we see when he plays for Klopp in Liverpool.
Yeah, and you know what? For his price on fantasy, I believe he's like roughly 7 or 8 million on fantasy. He seems to be a brilliant shout, and the Dutch side looked very good. But
they do. That's another country that produces footballers, brilliant footballers, year after year.
And Depay is coming to form for league, for his league side. Depay's in a lot of form, and I was very, very happy, pardon me, to see Depay not score in this game that they had against Ukraine.
He did have a chance so early on, didn't he?
Had a few chances, didn't go in. Vorkhost, the Dutch striker.
I'm not Dutch, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. He plays his...
The Dutch striker. Iron Robin.
No. Vorkhost, I believe he plays his football in the Bundesliga. But technically he was the goal scorer. But it actually went in off Dumfries, which I was devastated to see not get given the second goal. But only for my faith in Dumfries to come through later on in the game where he actually did score. So my captain, who was Genie, scored. And Dumfries scored. But at 2-0 in the 60th minute or 50-odd minute, you think this game is finished. Ukraine scored 2 goals in about 8 minutes. Yarmolenko would possibly be the goal of the tournament so far.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, without question. It's an unbelievable strike from nothing outside the box. I'd say about 20, 30 yards.
That's another team as well. That Ukraine team isn't bad. And I forgot Shevchenko was in charge of it as well.
Yeah, but also they've got Morales, or he's a Brazilian-born player who's spent the last, I believe, 5 years in his living in residency in Ukraine, who's now playing for the Ukraine.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I think I've heard something about that as well.
He's a winger, so he is. Morales or Maloras or something along the lines of beginning with the M and ending with the loss. But speaking of loss, they did end up with one, Ukraine. But it was a good performance that side put in.
Staying on fantasy, do you have Lukaku in by any chance?
I do.
That man is on a mission. He scored a brace against Russia. He's got 24 goals and 11 assists in the Serie A this season.
He's a monster.
He's a beast. He is a beast of a player.
Chelsea are actually looking to re-sign him.
No way.
They are, yeah.
No way, I didn't know that now.
Yeah, they're looking to re-sign. Chelsea and Roman Abramovich are highly determined to sign either Haaland or Lukaku.
Stupid question. You'd obviously pick Lukaku over Werner.
I might just leave the room right now. If you have the audacity to... Like, if you genuinely think that is even worth questioning or even thinking over right now, this current... In what month are we in? July?
June
of 2021, to think that will I pick Lukaku, who bangs them for club and country, over Werner, who can't hit the net right now?
Yeah, but Werner's funny to watch, though. Speaking of, do you have him in your fantasy team?
Do I have who?
Timo Werner.
I did, and I took him out prior to the match.
So you and everyone else, really?
No, I believe he's going to score just because, as I said, I believe someone's going to deliver him a letter via a carrier pigeon, right? It's going to come straight to his house. Courier pigeon, straight to his house. Conor Keighley is taking you out of his fantasy team.
A hat trick the next game.
Yep, it's going to happen.
And just with Werner, Germany, dark horses, I think. It was the last tournament with your man, Lowe. Hansi Flick's taking over in the summer. I'd nearly put them down for favourites for the World Cup next season.
Yeah, I'd back over. That. Their team... Currently, they're like in a work in progress. They've got a lot of very, very good players, right? You've got Müller, who's an experienced vet at this stage.
I feel like he's just been the same age his whole life.
Yeah.
He's always been there, like, always been in and around.
Never disappeared. You got Neuer, unquestionably going to be their keeper, one of, if not the best keeper currently. Well,
and when he retires, he's got to Stegen there anyway.
The talent in that country is unbelievable.
It's every year. It's every year they produce these footballers. Whereas we have a golden era once every 40, 50 years. We're still living off Jack Charlton's team.
We are. Speaking of like the Irish football team, like as we've spoken about this before, I reckon if we had a bit of a crowd for our games, we go through, we're in this Euros.
If we were allowed to go to Slovakia, I had tickets just before lockdown kicked in. And instead of being in Slovakia, to watch that game, I was instead... in Tesco at 6 a.m. starting my shift, which I know where I'd rather be. Tesco, obviously. The frozen aisle at 6 a.m. in the morning instead of being in Slovakia pissed watching Ireland.
You know what could have been and that Slovakian team, they played yesterday, I believe.
They did indeed.
They played against Poland
and beat them.
That's
a shock. I didn't see that coming at all.
No. Poland were the clear favourites going into that match. But two goals and a, like, the Polish red card changed the game. Like, Poland came out in the second half very determined and grabbed their goal. Lottie, their midfielder, picked up the goal and equalized the game. Only for Krychowiak to pick but red in the 60-odd minute. And then Ukraine. Did you see the finish? You did see the finish.
I did, yeah.
Skriniar, Inter Milan, centre back.
Mm. What took it down so well from the corner and just buried it.
Striker's finish.
Yeah, it was indeed. But just, yeah, on the Euros, I think we're both going for France here, aren't we? For favourites. But I think Italy, dark horse, Spain should be in there too as well.
Spain?
But I honestly, I think so. I know they're getting kind of hit with COVID at the moment. But they're another team that just always shows up for these tournaments. I think though, I'm gonna stick with France.
You know, more so a player that kind of pissed me off. It was on the day the lineups were released. So you think of fullbacks, and especially it ties in with fantasy as well. I had João Cancelo, my fantasy team.
Who was playing this year?
For Portugal. And, a guaranteed starter on that team at fullback. Only for him to get coronavirus and not start. So I've had to play my first week on fantasy with 10 players. And granted, those 10 players that I wanted to pick, I think, or that I played, 8 of them were players I wanted to pick. I was forced into changes, and I'm still going to be short players. I'm going to be short points from one full player, because even with my full bench and like full players on my team, only 10 players will register me points this weekend or this match day one. So, João Cancelo, if you can sort your stuff out, please, that'd be much appreciated.
You think if one of them gets COVID, surely all of them would be at risk.
It's a very interesting scenario, that whole COVID. But hopefully, as I said earlier, we're on the latter end of that stage, that period of time where we have to, reduce our living, quality of life, our daily tasks. Even just stuff with going to the cinema is like, it's crazy to think.
Yeah, cinemas are back, but there's nothing in them to watch.
That's shocking.
So they might as well stay closed until just a good few films release.
How, that Bond movie, Nothing to Die, Never to Die.
I'm going to say maybe one of them.
It's one of them. I'm definitely not roughly checking this as we continue to talk about it. But that movie is...
Should have did our research.
Oh, definitely should have. No Time to Die.
No Time to Die.
And I didn't even get to type it, right?
I just remembered.
No Time to Die. And it's definitely not because of Billie Eilish's song came out.
Who?
But yeah, that Bond movie's... it's been on the shelf for nearly a year and a half now. I'm looking forward to seeing that, I can't lie.
Yeah, it will be good. It will be good.
It will be good. So,
what's it called again?
Is it called No Time to Die?
That's the one.
I think it's No Time to Die. I look forward to, going to the cinema's concerts. We're looking forward to getting to eventually. It's just nice to see the world reopen.
That's it. Life is coming back to some sort of normality. It's great to see. About time. So I really hope this is the last of the lockdowns. I don't think I can stomach another one.
Oh, stop. I mean, the lockdown has been crazy.
In itself, yeah.
But you know what was
Which
also
one?
True? Ireland feels like we never came out of a lockdown. But you know what has always been... you know what is also absolutely crazy?
What would that be, Con?
So TikTok, yeah?
I think I know it.
Yeah, it's a small little application. They sponsor the Euros.
The what?
They're one of the major sponsors for the Euros.
No way.
It's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you turn on
TikTok.
TikTok is one of the app where people, roll it back, pull it back, do it back, whatever the phrase
where
is.
Where people dance for 5 seconds and they get a million likes and then contracts to become pop singers. That page.
That app.
Sponsors the Euros.
Sponsors.
So they're going to, I can imagine now 4 years from now, they're going to have their own international team.
At this rate, right, I wouldn't put it past them.
You wouldn't be surprised the way it's going. It's just, it seems that anyone on that, to me, it's such a strange app.
It is.
Anyone on it who's half good looking just becomes famous on it for some reason.
If you're attractive, you do well on it. And that might be blunt to say.
That's true.
It is the truth. It's just in like human behavior that we kind of warm up to or kind of are fond of a natural beauty. especially when it comes to like watching content. And TikTok is no different. And if you're attractive and you've already got...
It just seems to work out for them. I don't have TikTok personally, so I don't know who these people are until they become famous and it's like, oh, TikTok star, this and all. Speaking of this guy, Bryce Hall.
Oh,
what's he doing? What's he doing recently?
So I'm not sure if you're aware, right? So there was a TikTok versus YouTube boxing event.
A TikTok versus YouTube boxing event.
Yeah, a boxing event where YouTubers fight TikTokers. It's crazy to think, but like given the current trend of, so you had KSI versus Joe Weller. KSI won.
Oh, KSI, I forgot all about that.
So then from the KSI fight, he called out the Logan brothers. To which he fought Logan Paul the first time they drew.
And beat him.
Yeah, the first time they drew, and then the second time KSI got the decision.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, and from the United Kingdom. And from there, it seems that Jake has got a bit of momentum. He's gone on to fight Nate Robinson from the NBA. He's just fought Ben Askren from...
Yeah, That's the MMA fighter, is it?
Yeah.
You want me to believe that a YouTuber knocked out a MMA fighter in 30 seconds?
A UFC fighter
in 30 seconds. This guy who gets elbows and knees to the face got knocked out by a YouTuber.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It is very hard to believe.
It's because it's not real. That's why it's hard to believe.
I disagree with you in this regard. Do you? I do, yeah. I think he was caught off guard and he didn't care because we saw his face walking out of the building.
No, I saw it. It was quite heavy as well. But
he came in out of shape.
You're going to tell me that a professional fighter caught off guard by
a YouTuber who has been practicing. Now, granted, right? Jake Paul is a twat, right? Twat. Can't stand the guy.
Twat.
But when it comes to, he's taking this boxing stuff relatively seriously.
I would too if I was getting paid millions to do it.
But Mike Tyson has even backed his ability. Jake Paul's ability.
It's not the sharpest mind in the world to go off there. I mean, man's been hit quite some time ago, quite a lot in his time.
You can say that is true.
I'd say it's a little bit damaged up there. So I wouldn't be saying.
He knows his boxing.
Oh, without a doubt. I know nothing about boxing. But I haven't been hit in the head 100 times and think that if you hit me in the head 100 times, I'd say Jake Paul is a great fighter as well, you know? I'd back his ability there as well.
But granted, right? So Jake, he fought Ben Askren and he beat Ben Askren. And now he's fighting Tyrone Woodley, I believe, who is a monster of a fighter known for having some very strong stand-up. Unlike Ben Askren, who is usually known for his grappling ability within UFC, who has also had a hip replacement 6 months prior to the fight itself. But Tyron Woodley, much more, let's say, in his prime element. Granted, he's in a bit of, he's in a poor bit of form. But
I just feel like these fights are scripted. Unless I see him down on his ass, completely knocked out by a professional fighter, then I believe it. But which one fought Mayweather?
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul did.
Logan Paul.
But he's not the one that took his hat. No.
No. That would be Jake.
No. That I found funny.
Yeah, I got your hat, and then Floyd Mayweather went on to wanting to kill a man.
Didn't he get a tattoo of it as well?
Yeah, and he also made merchandise saying, I got your hat.
That's brilliant.
So he knows how to sell, and he knows how to market himself. He's just a twat in the
business. Yeah,
Did you
watch that fight?
I caught the highlights the following day.
Okay.
I wasn't going to stay up for this one.
Imagine going to have your way to pay for that, though. You have to have a long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah, people find it entertaining.
I suppose they do. It is a little bit entertaining, the idea of it. If it was real.
Okay, so we've discussed this previously.
Off mic.
Brandon off thinks that, Brandon's opinion on the scenario is that Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather had already agreed on like not to actually harm the other person in the ring and not to...
Logan Paul wouldn't have agreed not to harm Floyd Mayweather because he couldn't anyway.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Realistically. But
he would agree... He got in the ring for the money, but first of all, his safety was guaranteed. There was nothing bad ever going to happen to him. Floyd Mayweather wouldn't have even been at 30% as a real fighter. If he was even at 10% of his ability, he would have knocked him out in the first round easily. He's a professional fighter, fought his whole life against a YouTuber.
A YouTuber, but height on him.
With a bad haircut.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. Yeah, Logan Paul, his hair is not looking too peak these days.
Speaking of that, did Floyd Mayweather get a hair transplant, or was he just bald by choice? Because that's very scary.
He got a hair transplant.
Okay, I thought he was bald by choice.
It seems not the best one as it looks. But listen, we're not going to talk about hair. That's definitely not my forte.
Isn't that what it's about?
No, I've had the same haircut for the past 12 years.
But at least he weren't bald by choice, though. True. That's what I thought he was.
Oh, my days.
Yeah, but I just think these fights aren't real.
No, it is huge. But as I was saying, you mentioned Bryce Hall before we got into that little tangent. And Bryce Hall fought at the TikTok versus YouTube boxers, where he fought Austin McBroom of the Ace family. And Bryce Hall got his head kicked in. So he did.
Good to see. I actually think I do know the Ace family. I think they're basketball players.
Are they?
I think the kids are basketball players. I think. No, I don't know, because I'm not really up to date with all this TikTok stuff and sort of.
Bryce Hall got outclassed, but early in the night we saw an Nissan Gibb fight Taylor Holder. Taylor Holder was the only person on this card that people were avoiding, as he had been practicing boxing for 5 years anyway.
Okay.
And on the night, Nissan Gibb absolutely outclassed him, destroyed him for 5 rounds straight, only for it to go to a decision and be given a majority draw. To which the commentators, the crowd, now this is a US-based crowd, and Taylor Holder is from the US, to go nuts. And yesterday came out, the commissioner of the whole event came out saying that it was a human error and that Gibb was the clear winner of the bout itself.
There we go, that fight would have obviously been scripted as well, and he wasn't supposed to do that.
He wasn't supposed to win.
That's the same thing with Floyd and Logan and all that sort of carry on.
I disagree personally, but that's just...
That's fair enough, Con.
But there's a lot of things that come out of TikTok and YouTube.
It's just crazy how these people are becoming so famous and how famous they are.
I mean, a brilliant example is that, bloody Bella Borch.
Yeah. Now, what the hell is going on there?
Her career, it's been she had that video of her bobbing her head around to M to the B.
No, I saw that, but what the fuck is M to the B?
M to the B was good old BG Media back in the
M
day.
M to the B, M to the B. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
She was just like that, just moving her head around.
What was his name? They used to, on every video, shout out to Jack Robinson. Oh, it's very funny. But yeah, that's BG Media from back in the day. And Millie B, M to the B. It's very funny. But you have Bella Porch nodding her head around to M to the B. And Brandon, that video has 48.9 million likes, not views, likes.
But why?
A cute young girl, except she's not young, she's like 25.
I think she's definitely older than us. Wasn't she in the military once?
She was.
So she was in the military, started making TikToks, and now she's a pop star.
Yeah, she's recently released a song called Build a Bitch or on the
Build
radio.
Build a Bitch.
Build a Bitch.
What did the radio play as build a bee or something like that?
Build a babe.
Is that what it is?
But
did she even write those lyrics? She's just the face of it. I don't know, but like these people, and you want Addison Rae as well. They just do 6 second dances, blown up, and now they're pop
Who's
stars.
The one with the two sisters?
Oh, I think D'Amelio's or something. Is it
Charlie and something D'Amelio?
Dixie D'Amelio.
What?
What? That's what. It's strange to see. It's strange. It's just they're blowing up and now they're she's got her own song. It's on the radio. It's playing in Ireland on the radio. It's
Which one?
Very strange. Build a babe or whatever.
Build a bitch. But build a bitch. That was crazy. Yeah. That was the number one song on YouTube and trending for about 2 weeks. And the song has been out maybe just over 3 weeks to date, and it's got 175 million views.
Would that not make you a little bit sick if you were an unknown artist and you actually had a bit of talent, you wrote your own songs, you played your own instruments, and this someone, because she smiled into a camera, she's famous now and is a singer, professional singer, well, a pop star.
You'd think that. You generally think that with a bit of pure talent.
I feel like a lot of people with talent don't make it anymore in that industry.
They need to have something else.
Yeah.
It's like you need to either have some form of backing on some platform to break into the music.
Look good and be able to dance on TikTok.
Like, for example, there's been a lot of songs that have broken out from TikTok.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, you've got Duncan Lawrence Arcade. You've got Deathbed. You know, the... Oh, my dear.
Oh, yeah, I know. Don't sing it. Please don't sing it.
You got Savage by
Jason Derulo.
No. Not Megan. Fucking. Yeah. Savage. That one.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. So I suppose it's good for blowing up certain artists.
Yeah.
But not the likes of Bella Poarch.
Say So by is it Doja Cat? Say So if you say so.
We're gonna leave that there.
My cover is better than hers. Prove me wrong. But
you can't dance on TikTok though.
Wanna bet?
Yeah, but there's one artist in particular. If we're talking about people who've blown up, like the likes of Bella Poarch, but there's someone that you're a big fan of and I'm a big fan of that you've introduced me to in the past year.
There has, yeah.
That is kind of small time. He's small, but he's very good.
We say small. He has been on BBC One Radio. He's been in a few, like had a good few sets, right? But he does not get the recognition that he deserves.
What's his name?
His name is Elderbrook. And he's some man, right? If you ever watch any of his sets, he's having some of the best times you'll ever see.
I'm a big fan of him. I'm a big fan. You introduced me to him last year after we left Applewood last year for what we thought was the last time. And I was in your house and all of a sudden you started playing your playlist on Alexa.
Yeah.
And that came on and I remember I was like, oh, wait, what's this? What's this? And then I had to ever since, in love with it. In love. I'm a big fan of him now as well.
My first introduction to Elderbrook was Old Friend, which was a song that for 2 years straight on my Spotify was my most played song. The amount of times I listened to that song, it was such a like get in the mood, get ready to go type of like. I used to travel and go to events, it was a song that would get me hyped up to get prior to the event, to get me in the mood. Like, right, let's go, let's fucking.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of him, and we're actually going to see him.
We are
in Whelan's Pub in Dublin on Tuesday the 9th of November of this year. We're going to a concert this year, Connor.
I can't wait.
We're seeing Elderbrook as well, which is going to be great.
You know, it's going to be some podcast. It's going to be a podcast? No, this is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
It's going to be some concert because...
Just the idea of being able to go to a concert this year is amazing. Ava's back. Unless Big Leo Varadkar and his disciples want to shut Ava back down again just for the laugh, just for the fun of it.
Leo, at least just let us see Elderbrook first, right? You can cancel it afterwards.
You can close out on Wednesday the 10th of November. Actually, no, you can't because I'm seeing Madness 2 weeks later. So wait till those two gigs are done, then you can do what you want.
But yeah, if you haven't checked out any of Elderbrook's songs, there's some brilliant songs such as you've got Numb,
which is my personal favorite anyway.
You've got Old Friend, which is a classic.
You're a big fan of that one.
You've got My House, but also... You've got All My Days, Something About You,
which he did with Rudimental.
Yeah,
and that's a brilliant song. Good music video as well. Very good music.
But the song itself is a tune.
Yeah, but this guy has 55,000 followers. He's got some massive songs with a couple million views. And we're going to see him in a pub in Dublin this year.
Give it a few years and he'll be selling out the 3 Arena.
I think so. It's like when people saw Dermot Kennedy and all before he was big.
Yeah.
Now he's selling out 3 Arena.
Like Lewis Capaldi and all that.
But it's just great that everybody's gone back to normal, you know. Normality is just around the corner. Pubs are back. Restaurants are back. Lee's is back. Most importantly, Lee's is back.
That means we have to see a few people.
Get back to me. I promised I wouldn't do that and I did. Sorry.
I know this is there's a bit of dead time there, but I'm just staring at Brandon in pure fucking disgust.
Trust me, if I had a mirror, I'd look at myself in disgust at this very moment as well. But it's just great to have everyone back. So, I mean, look at the sun out there right now. It's June, the beer gardens are open. Go out and support your local, have a pint. That's what you need to do, because everywhere, life is back.
We're getting there.
We are getting there.
And the vaccines, we should get them soon enough.
Well, some people should have already had them. Yourself, kind of. Why haven't you had a vaccine yet?
You know what, Brandon? I wish I could give you a logical answer as to like why I haven't. A small little background. My lungs have collapsed 7 times in the space of a 3-month period back in 2017.
I think it's a world record.
They didn't stop collapsing for about 5 months back in 2017. I was with you when it first collapsed.
I don't want to take credit for it, but I think I did have a part to play.
To which Brandon replied, "Oh, would you hurry up?" When my lung had collapsed, we're walking home.
I thought he was taking the piss, to be fair. Turns out he wasn't.
I wasn't, no. And I walked home with a collapsed lung, which is quite a bit of pain, I can't lie. And then, yeah, I ended up going to A&E about a good 4 times until I got bored of saying, oh, you know, your lung's just, you know, there's a part of your lung that's collapsed. It's not your full thing. So we'll see you another time. But eventually I saw a specialist, to which he said, I can't believe you have not seen me sooner. We want surgery the following morning.
It's always the case with you. always the case.
Yeah, it's some gobshite that just delays the process. So yeah, my lungs are a bit dodgy. I've, you know, asthma as well.
So you should be ringing a doctor and asking for a vaccine. I had COVID, so I'm all right to wait. But you, I think if you got COVID,
GG.
That and a strong gust of wind and you're finished, I feel. You're finished.
Yeah, I think the wind would just blow me away.
I think the wind would be worse than the COVID.
Yeah. But I'm not as light as I used to be.
True. Well, Connor.
Brandon, we officially gotten to the end of our first podcast.
Our first episode, the beginning.
We will learn as things go on. We will improve. Dermot and Dave, just pack your stuff already.
Today FM is gonna go bust. Great to see. But for now, I think it's time for yourself to put the kettle on. And I think I'm gonna have a glass of rosé.
Ooh.
Yeah, very fancy. Wow, celebrate the first episode.
Yeah, fair play.
I think we'll sit out on the balcony in this beautiful weather as well.
And enjoy it.
Yeah, but yeah, we will indeed. It's been a pleasure, Connor, as always.
It's been a pleasure, and here we are after our first episode. Now, Brandon, we were just chatting about this throughout the week. What's the song of the week?
I think it's only right, after mentioning our hero in the first episode, that we're going to play Elderbrook Numb, just to bless you beautiful people. So, without further ado, goodbye, good luck, and here's Numb from Elderbrook.
Have a great day.